Hey, this is Jem, and I always have a truly outrageous time listening to Mike, Amy, and Nicole on Showtime Synergy.
Me and my friends are Jem girls. Jem, Jem is my name. Exciting adventure, fashion, and fame. Once you're a Jem girl, you're never the same. Come on, come on, and be a Jem girl. Jem, Jem is my name. Me and my friends are Jem girls. Jem, Jem is my name. Truly outrageous.
Hit town.
Ugh. Okay, let's get this show on the
road. All right. Showtime Synergy.
Woo! It's Showtime Synergy. Yeah, there we go.
God, now it just feels repetitive. Hello and welcome to Showtime Synergy, the Jem Review Podcast here on the Geekcast Radio Network. I am Em, and joining me are my misfit girls, Amy, aka Letty Rick. Hello.
Hello.
And Nicole Hailstorm. Hello.
Aloha.
Which, Nicole, this week for this episode, she's recording from the Rockin' Roadster.
I wish my car was that cool.
She's broadcasting through Synergy.
There you go.
In this episode, we'll be giving you our thoughts on the first two episodes of Jem and the Holograms Season 3, as well as thoughts on the new characters and everything else. And this is where the whole dynamic of the show changes.
Yeah.
Because instead of two musical groups fighting each other, you have three musical groups all fighting each other now.
Yep.
And what do you know? That's one of the names of the songs.
What?
Now.
Oh, that's true.
Song. Really like that.
Really worked out. I mean, having three bands in one song, and it actually, I was very surprised at how well it turned out. So,
yeah,
kudos to the musical team. Oh my gosh, yeah. They're amazing. Yeah,
very, very well. Thank God we have a different sound than just the Misfits and all that now. So,
yeah.
Misfits have better songs.
No, they don't.
And they do. It says so in the song, in the theme song.
No.
Am I wrong? It says so in the theme song. You cannot deny that.
Mm-hmm.
What what was your all's initial impression when you first had seen this, that we were getting a whole new dynamic for season three?
First impressions of getting a new dynamic of season three?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't remember seeing any like advertisements or anything. I don't recall that far back, to be honest, because for me, I saw it like in syndication, quite literally. So,
yeah.
I just, turned it on and all of a sudden I was like, oh, we've got a new band. And I was like, okay, I don't know what I feel about this. And I think by the time we got to the end of the first two episodes, I was like, okay, I wasn't liking as a kid, I don't remember. I was like, Jem, I don't like how she's acting. She's so selfish, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But, then toward the end, you realize that she goes back to Rio and everything's good. So I was like, okay. Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I guess as long as we have a third band now, so we'll figure out how to make that work. And I think by the time they got to the end of the second episode, I was sold. And as an adult going back and looking at it now, I'm like, oh, yeah, it works out that way. I don't know why Jem thinks Riot's so awesome, but, he's got this mesmerizing charisma. And I'm like,
it's Townsend Coleman. That's
I know. Why. I know.
Everyone loves that guy. Yeah, Michelangelo, man.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is Michelangelo days. This is way before Spoon.
Yeah, I know.
So, all right. As I said in the end of episode 17, this week in episode 18, it's all gonna be about just the first two-parter for season three. So we're gonna just only talk about two episodes this week: Stingers, Hit Town, Part 1 and 2. We're gonna get to Part 1 after this.
Stay, 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 stay.
All right, The Stingers Hit Town Part 1, written by Christy Marks. Air date was February 2nd, 1988. Eric Raymond gets fed up with the Misfits' childish behavior and sells everything he owns to buy Misfits' music from Harvey Gabor. However, he decides to offer a recording contract to a new band called The Stingers. Jerrica also discovers The Stingers and decides to offer them a recording contract, but the lead singer, Riot, tells her that only Jim can make him join Starlight Music. The featured songs are The Stingers' theme, Like a Dream, which is a reuse, and Perfect Match by The Stingers. This was interesting, because I didn't remember this. I remember them coming on the scene, but I didn't remember every single thing about these two episodes. And part one, it's interesting. You'd think that, you know, Riot was having, you know, mesmerizing smoke come out of his their instruments or something to get everybody so hooked, but
he's got the voice. He does that nice, smooth talk, like, hey, it worked for me.
Smooth talk. That's all he is smooth talk.
I like the plot. It's interesting. I like it when it's Jim and the Holograms versus Eric, or Jerrica versus Eric, more so than when it's, because we've had two seasons now of Jim and the Holograms versus the Misfits.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, while I still love it in certain episodes, for me it's getting old. So this whole new direction of just Jerrica and Eric battling over the next new thing, I thought that was really cool.
It was also a good change, because now it's Eric versus the Misfits. So because Pizzazz is saying, hey, this is my dad's music business, and he's like, no, I'll one up you. I mean, so who's gonna fold?
Eric is pretty motivated. Yeah. I was pretty impressed with the amount of what I'm not coming back until I own this place.
I'm like,
And I was like, I
know Eric's the ultimate douchebag, but I love his character.
When he wants something, he knows how to get it.
Exactly.
And nothing will stand in his way, including a house.
I didn't even realize he had a house.
Possessions.
He's a manager of one big band, let alone maybe a couple others. He's going to be making some good money.
He is, but like throughout the whole series to this point, till this episode, it just seems like he's always in hotel rooms or whatever. Like, I never actually realized he actually had a house, because let's face it, most of the money that they make, the Misfits end up destroying it, because they end up in all of their ski. Like, he can't have, like, I know the guy's smart, but he can't have that much money squirreled away, because he basically had to sell everything to
get
this.
But the thing is, maybe he's that good with money that he's investing it in the right places.
That could be that too. I'm surprised that he hasn't come down to saying the line, this is why I can't have nice things. To the Misfits, you know? Because he's always just running after them, cleaning up their messes. But it'd be great. It'd be like, this is why I can't have nice things. I want to hear that line from Raymond.
This is why I hate machines.
No, that would not work. That would not work with Eric Raymond. But
To say, for this episode, just opening up, it's like, you know, the whole theme is we can't always have what we want the most. It kind of applies to almost everybody.
Yeah, that's
here.
True. Hmm?
Including Eric, at least not at first. You don't get it until you find the punchline in the very end, when you find out that Riot is the next thing that is going to run him ragged.
You know what? Rio came out as the winner.
He did.
He always gets what he wants, because he always... Never mind.
Yeah.
No, go ahead and say it. Just go ahead and get it out of your system.
He's such an idiot. He can't realize that.
It's where's Jerrica in all this?
I know.
And the other thing that I'm kind of surprised of is that why doesn't Jerrica ever figure out that Jem and Rio are together? Why doesn't he ever think about, hey, you know,
I should bring this up. Maybe she did bring this up last season. She did bring it up last season a couple times.
Right, but see, here's the thing. she, as Jim, at this point, is losing herself. Not just because Riot has come on the scene, but she, as Jim, when she's around Rio as Jim, is just assuming that he's looking at her as herself, as Jericho. Like, it, like Jim, the... I understand Jim's a hologram, and I don't want Christy to get mad at me because I don't want to make a Hannah Montana reference. But at the same time, it's one of those things where she just wants to be herself when she's with him, whether she has the hologram on or not. Mm-hmm. And I think that's
so why
where
doesn't she just tell him?
and then on top of that, why doesn't he just figure it out?
Yeah.
Like I said before, I think it's just this crazy love game that they're playing with each other.
Mm-hmm. Clark Kent.
Sick, sick. Love game.
Any other thoughts on the plot for part one?
No, this is good.
Okay. All right, we're going to get to the hologram moments after this. It is time for the hologram moments, and damn, do I have a lot of them.
There's a lot in this. There really is.
Yeah, there's a lot. There is.
The Pizzazz's freak out at the thought of some other rock group living at her father's house is just hilarious.
I love Pizzazz in this whole episode so much.
We have finally met her match.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she pretty much has, and her whole character changes this entire two-parter here, because Pizzazz looks like you need to dry off after hearing Riot say, "I am here." two lines, and she just goes, you know, she just goes knock-kneed all of a sudden.
Sometimes I almost get the sense that this show is not big enough for Riot to be on.
Yeah, no.
His hair alone is not big enough for this show. The show's not big enough.
That was the band of the 80s. I mean, come on, man.
Trust me. I love the hair bands. Whew.
Why does he remind me of
Whitesnake?
No, it's not. I was going to say David Coverdale. I was going to say, why does he remind me of Twisted Sister?
No. Because he doesn't have the makeup on. It's Whitesnake.
Well, no. That's the...
I can't remember the guy from the lead singer from Whitesnake. I know people are
David Coverdale.
That's it. David. That's who he reminds me of.
You know, and I thought there was something up with the Stingers, because I wrote down, oh, wow, it's all an act. And it, because they slowly reveal that Riot and the Stinger Girls are just using Pizzazz and everybody else. And it's like, I almost feel sorry for the heartache that he's going to cause to Pizzazz. And I've never said in the entire podcast at this point, I've never said I've ever felt sorry for Pizzazz, because
it's hard to feel sorry for her. But yeah, you're right.
I felt sorry for her in Father's Day.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That's one exception, but yeah. Anybody, and I fully blame Amy for this, even though I know I have my own dirty mind.
I blame Amy for a lot of things too. Go ahead.
Amy started us down the path of being dirty minded. Anybody else catch the Rock Hard Cafe?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, it's fucking Hard Rock. They switched it around and it just came out.
Or the fact that the first thing that Riot orders everybody to do is to, you know, to cool off or whatever. But one of his lines, this I thought, whoa, that's a little... I was like, whoa, that was a little suggestive.
He knows what he does to people.
He does. I think he likes that. He likes having that power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know we've said this many, many, many times before as far as the music videos, but the Like a Dream music video was probably the best reuse the entire series to this point and how it worked into the storyline of the episode.
That's how they agree with that.
I forget who said this, but somebody said, could it help me lose weight?
It was the crystals.
Yeah,
it was the lady. Crystals could help me lose weight. That's hilarious. I kind of like the song Perfect Match. It's interesting, the Stingers adding a whole different dynamic of sound and singing mm-hmm. now to this series. And that cliffhanger was just crazy.
Oh, yeah. That was a good cliffhanger on this episode. Yeah.
All right, Amy, what do you got?
Okay, Eric going through the bills, throwing the manager into the pool. And Roxy's response, a girl's got to have some fun.
I have that as my number one thing, too. I'm like, I love Roxy.
Again, Roxy.
Girl's
going to
have
just,
fun.
She's got the good one-liners. Now, I know that kind of Jetta has kind of encroached in there a little bit with the bad girl vibe. It don't matter because Roxy still comes out with the really great one-liners.
Girl's got to have fun.
Well, girl's got to have fun.
You go, girl.
Throwing the manager into the pool. Oh, my gosh. Wow. That was good. That was good.
They live up to their name. We'll give them that.
Yeah, yeah. As some of the things I've already pointed out, of course, I like the fact that Eric walks out of Misfit Music until he can be the owner. And I like the leverage that he puts himself into, you know, to get... And he just... Mr. G runs a really hard bargain. He has to double his buyout costs to get what he wants. But, you know, he comes up with the money and that's great. And he sells everything he owns. But you know what? Eric is very dedicated to what he wants. If he wants something, he's going to get it. And you know what? It puts him in a really good place because now he can control the Misfits. And the fact that Mr. G is telling him that he has to keep them under contract almost... Mm-hmm. Like, they can't sing anywhere else then. So if they don't behave and he says, okay, fine, you know, I'm not going to let you do anything, they still can't go out and, like, be a band elsewhere unless they, like rebrand themselves and go somewhere else. But even then, I mean, like, they're a thing. Like, they're recognized because of who they are. So it's like... They're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. So it's either you be the Misfits or you can go off and do whatever the heck you want, but you can't play music.
That goes to one of my hologram moments. And Roxy's like, I'm going to miss the Misfits. And it was a really good name. And I'm like, that's ironic because there's a band at this time that has that name.
Oh, that was but awesome. In all of the, yeah, it just, I thought it was really good. I was like, Eric finally has something over them. In the fact that they can't. And so for the first time in two episodes or two seasons, I kind of actually feel like Eric is taking control. Mm-hmm. He's finally found a way to take control. And then Riot shows up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Riot shows up and all.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Oh, man.
It's brilliant.
All right, Nicole, what do you got for hologram moments?
Let's see. I'm seeing what we haven't mentioned. Oh, I'm loving the new looks, the new hairstyles that they have, the new clothing designs and stuff. Really like that. I thought that was a really good thing to start the new season with. Jem and her more... funky hairdo and everything. Let's see. Oh,
well, even Kimber, like when Jerrica and Kimber go into the,
they've got different makeup on too.
their get-ups and everything is it's very, very 80s, but it like is totally working for me.
I know, and I like it. It's a new scene, and I like it a lot. I'm a person that likes change, so I liked it. Let's see, Roxy loved her one-liner. Pizzazz acting love struck. I loved her little her falling in love voice, like,
Giggling
oh
like a little
yes.
schoolgirl? Yeah.
I
Really
really
good.
like.
Yeah.
I'm talking about what the love struck is lovesick. No, lovesick. The end of lovesick, when she's like the puppet on the strings. I thought that was really, really great animation. I really had fun with that.
That's probably one of my favorite songs that they've done for a while.
Yeah,
I
I
really liked it. The
really like that.
animation on that and that was really good. I agree. Completely agree.
That's probably one of my favorite videos. And I, at my last thing, the Godzilla cameo. I mean, yeah, sure was an inflatable, but it still, made a wreck at the end. I loved it. Yay, Godzilla!
I've got a few more.
Oh,
We
okay.
cannot forget putting we cannot forget the fact that Roxy gets a donut cork.
Oh yeah, Mike put that up on my Facebook.
That was awesome. That was so awesome. Put a cork in, she
Put a
puts a
cork in
donut
it.
in her mouth. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well,
Don't.
and I do have to say that Jetta does have an awesome line too, where she's like, "What a twit she is." No, actually, that wasn't Jetta.
Yeah, it
That's
was.
one
Yeah, it
of
was.
no. That was I think that was a Minx actually that said that, and then Riot follows up with, "I'll tolerate her," and they were talking about like
For as long as I need her,
pizzazz, yeah,
yeah.
for as long as
Yeah.
it's like I like how he just dismisses people so easily, especially pizzazz. Oh my gosh, wow.
Right, so since we're. Oh, I'm
Oh
sorry.
yeah,
Go ahead.
let me see if there's anything else. Of like, I could go on. There's a few other little things, but I'm like,
Okay.
man fight on stage. I thought that was hilarious. The first
Man fight.
one
You have
guy
to have a
shows
man.
up.
You have to have two men to have a fight. I only saw one.
Oh, come on now.
Oh.
Wait, come on now. All right. Out of all of Rio's faults that he has, come on now. You gotta give
I will
him.
give it to him. He knows how to stand up for the ladies because he has more. Just kidding.
Oh, jeez.
I did like
Oh.
how Minx likes him though, because
You are.
Riot's going after Jem, and Minx is going to be the distraction that she can be as much as possible. And I like that. That it's like, hey, I'm gonna go for the
I will
guy.
admit, Rio's not half bad this season
Yeah.
so far. We're only two
See,
episodes in, so.
the only problem Rio has at this point is deciding between Jerrica and Jem.
Yeah.
Because when you look at him outside of Jerrica slash Jem, he basically flat out tells Minx he's not interested. He's,
True.
I mean, so you got to give him points for that. I mean, at least he's not trying to, cheat on Jerrica with someone other than
There's too many
herself.
women already. I can't handle Jerrica, Jem, and Minx.
Yeah.
And I think way back when in season one, when Pizzazz tried to, come on to him, he was just purely disgusted by hers, so that
Yeah.
wasn't a problem at all.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah. Okay, so last thing I have on here. I love how at the very end of this episode, Jem is confused at trying to explain the whole Jerrica Rio Jem
I love that
triangle.
part too. That was good too. I was
That
like,
was for the
gosh.
cliffhanger, right? For part
Yeah,
one.
but she was like,
Yeah.
but he, no, he's
But
not my boyfriend, but he's Jerrica's. But she's like, I was like, even
Yeah.
she can't explain it. He's like, well, then you're free.
So
So
it's
do
not
the
totally
beach.
Rio's fault, Nicole.
Yeah.
Oh, come
We have already
on.
established this.
It's
It's
90% his fault. It's Jerrica's fault.
All right, so since we're talking about good stuff and everything else, what did you guys think of overall the three new characters in the Stingers and Riot, Minx and Rapture?
Go ahead, Nicole.
Oh, I think they give a good new vibe to the show. It's nice to see the Misfits have some competition when it comes to destroying stuff, whether it be people, relationships, or items, or it's good to see that. I love Rapture. She's such a brat. I love that she's a con artist. She can
The
con
sad
anyone
thing
out.
is, the whole time I was watching this first part, I'm like, that's exactly what Nicole would do.
What? Tell people about crystals.
Well,
I
no,
would probably scare a
not
little
that
girl into being
part.
a werewolf.
Yeah,
I probably would do that. And I've had a teddy bear with teeth on when I dressed up as Goldilocks.
Jesus Christ.
So yeah, I've been there.
I like the three new characters. Like we've already said, I think that they, put some new blood into the show, give it a fresh look, as we've already said. I'm not too. I like Minx and Rapture. Riot is just.
Riot.
He's a
He
riot.
even causes riots. Come on, man.
He lives up to his name.
He does.
That's one thing he does. So, all right,
It's
we are
really
gonna get.
oh,
Go
I
ahead.
was just gonna
No, go
say it's really good to see though the dynamics so different between like the three groups. I mean, Pizzazz is always running the show until she's like running after Riot, obviously.
ahead.
On the other hand, with the holograms, they're always so, they have this peaceful harmony and they're BFFs and, but with Riot
I
and his
just got
group.
diabetes from that all the sugar in that sentence that you just said.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But with Riot and his group, it's like they're so independent and so aware of themselves and their own, like they know their flaws, but they accept that and they're all right with that. I mean, we find that out in the next episode, but like they are who they are and they don't make any apologies for that, and they know where their strengths lie and they know where their weaknesses are. And not only that, is that they accept that in one another. You know what I mean? It's like Riot goes off and does his thing, Minx does her thing, and like Rapture does hers, and they're like, okay, when they need to be together, they're together. When they aren't together, it's like they are aware of one another, and so they like feed off of each other in that respect, if that makes sense.
Right.
So it's
No, it
like I
does.
like that. I really, really like that. It's a new dynamic. It gives a fresh look to a different group of people, and they balance it so perfectly that it's like, it's just different, and I like that. So
Absolutely. There's a there's an image. I forget if it's from this episode or from the second episode. I think it's from the first episode where the three of them, the Stingers, are together, and the two girls are kind of like nestled into his
oh,
shoulders, and
that's in the first one
he's
after they push everyone in the pool. Yeah.
oh yeah, but he's standing there with his hands on their heads, and he's like patting their heads like they're little dogs to him. It's so strange.
They're
I
like
pair.
his minions, but they're like,
Yeah.
but they're independently, they're they have their own independent, things that they do. You know what I mean?
Right,
So
yeah.
it's awesome. I like it.
All right, let's get to the Misfit moments for part one after this. All right, Misfit moments for part one of the Stingers Hit Town. Wow, Pizzazz is really gonna drop all the Misfits just because of the Stingers, really? She's just gonna drop everything because Riot told her to. See, this goes back to how the other Misfits have been treated in the series to this point. And it's all been because of, you know, I mean, Pizzazz has always been the one to treat every, like, Stormer or Roxy or hell, even Jetta. But now she's just gonna drop the whole thing.
It's his floofy hair.
Yeah.
It's the hair, I swear.
And it's his hypnotic voice. He does have a hypnotic. I tell you, if I met a man like that in real life and he talked to me, I'd probably do the same thing, in all honesty, be like, huh?
Wow.
Well, it's a scientific fact that men are visual creatures and women are audible creatures. It's a fact. Why do you think women like men with accents?
I just, there are no words, people.
A good accent makes you 10 times hotter.
I have to agree with that.
See?
Getting back on track here.
I have Rio.
Feel a little bit too much here.
She said Rio.
That's always my letter difference.
She said Rio.
Not have Rio on the mic.
Oh my gosh, Rio! Unless Riot? It was holy cow.
Yeah.
Rio is a Riot.
Riot. Rio. Sorry.
Oh Lord. Okay, so I like, after obviously the second episode, I kind of like Riot, but like when he first came on the scene, I wrote down, Riot is a creeper, and I'm not talking about the kind that the Scooby Gang unmask. he is way too creepy.
I don't think so. He knows who he is, and he's playing it very well. So.
What do you have for Misfit moments, Nicole?
I only had one.
Okay.
And it doesn't involve Rio. It involves the other one. Kimber. She's going over Riot. Had she not learned? First of all, you were just getting married to Sean. Is he totally out of the picture? What's going on? And now you're just like, oh, Riot. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. That was like
Kimber, do not learn anything.
She's just acting like a groupie, but it's just like, yeah. It's like, woman, really? It's like, what about Sean?
I know. Where's Sean? Where's Sean? Know about it? Yeah. Hello. That was a big deal.
And
just
like,
last week.
The thing is that Jerrica has kind of like asked her to come there with her, right? It's like the Sisters of Starlight Music, right? And and you'd think that, like, is it because she's, you know, trying to have, like, hey, sis, you know, I'm going to teach you the business ropes, right? Uh-huh. Is it professional for her to be a groupie like that?
No.
Yeah, so that was my only big misfit moment.
Yeah.
Oh, Kimber.
But it's not just her, because when all of the holograms meet him, they kind of swoon a little bit too, like, oh, he's
Except
so
for Aja.
Handsome.
Aja doesn't fall for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because she's a smart, bad driver.
Yeah. Well, she has Craig, so she can't get struck. Because Craig is awesome. So she's not going to fall for it. Yeah.
Nope. What about you? I mean, anything you didn't like about this one for part one?
Both of the things that you guys have mentioned, and I'm adding a little bit to it. Those were the misfit moments for me. But the random lady wanting the crystals from Rapture, that was so odd to me, because it was so out of, like, okay, so you're at a place where you are listening to music, and you suddenly are doing some, you know, meditation thing on the floor, and random lady comes up and says, well, it helped me lose weight. And you're like, what?
She was an older lady. She might have been, you know, hitting it back in the 60s.
She's had the whole headband like thing like she was back in the 60s. You know?
Yeah, so she's just trying to relive her youth.
It was just so odd to me. So I thought, oh, it just doesn't... I mean, it It was weird, especially since it wasn't. I mean, I'd understand if it was like at like the whole riot opening thing, but it wasn't. It was at Jim and the Holograms thing. So I was like, do they just have like a little corner over here where the people that want to like, you know, do yoga and stuff are hanging out? I don't know.
Maybe so it was just, like a small area, you know, and right next door was a yoga shop.
It was just odd. And I know they put that in there to kind of like show, hey, look, this is Rapture's thing. She's like, this is,
she's a con artist.
Yeah. She's the con artist. And this is her thing that she does. But it was just really odd to me. So anyhow, the riot thing going perfect man and perfect woman spiel. Yeah, dude, that I know that it works for you, but it doesn't work. It just was like, yeah, there's no such thing as a perfect man and a perfect woman. And the perfect man, if he's anything like you, he would get stuck looking in a mirror all day long, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
So
narcissist.
Yeah. He is very much a narcissist. Very, very much a narcissist. And they do a very good job illustrating that very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right, Nicole, what are you going to give part one for a rating?
Oh, I really enjoyed this one. So I just had one misfit moment, and if you take that out, it was pretty good. 4.5, I'd say. I had a really good time watching this. The new dynamic, the new twist, the new hottie, I guess you could call him, you know? Yeah, it's going to be a fun ride.
And he likes to have his bare chest out a lot, just saying. Yeah.
And he apparently he likes to do the manscaping, you can tell, you know? So...
The sad thing is, after seeing his design multiple times watching these two episodes, all I can think of is, wow, that's Kraven the Hunter's older brother. All right, what about you, Amy, for the rating?
I'm going to rate this 1 of 4. I liked it. I like the dynamics. I like what's going on. The drama that's happening on the cliff thing is like, yeah, I mean, I know it's a good throwing it all together, putting it all into this, like, you know, big dramatic moment where Jem is torn between, you know, Riot, and she's up on this romantic cliff, and I'm like going, yeah, so that, yeah, I was kind of like a little going, eh, it just seems a little like it's so melodramatic.
Well, I mean, that's his character to a T, though.
That's true. That is his character to a T. It's kind of this sappy, kind of melodramatic, you know. But I did enjoy most of it. I liked what was going on. I liked how he comes in there and basically switches things up. And I like what the new band, how things are going. I love the conflict that's going on between Eric and Jerrica, and you know how he's finally got himself in a great position, and now, but Eric, really, you're biting off more than you could chew with Riot, because he's, you know, yeah. So I like that. I liked what happened in this episode, so I'm giving it 4.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it 4 as well. I really liked it. I only took a point off for Riot's creepy behavior.
It's the narcissist in him.
I know.
Would it be creepy really, if it was a woman doing it to you, though?
Depends on her age, because that's a story for a completely other time.
have plenty of time
that's
for
a,
story time.
That's a, no. That's an off-air story.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. all right,
what
so
have you been holding out?
I'm gonna give it 4. You know, we talked about Eric basically selling everything, even his house, to buy Misfit Music and turn it into Stinger Sound.
He could live in his office.
Get out of my brain, Amy, because I was gonna make a George Costanza reference. Because there was a point in Seinfeld when he actually had a bed or some sort of sleeping compartment built under his.
I remember that. That was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So awesome. We're going to get to part 2 after this. The Stingers Hit Town Part 2, also written by Christy Marks, aired it February 3rd, 1988. Riot wants Jim to leave Rio, dun-dun-dun, and Eric changes the name of his company to Stingers Sound to get the Stingers to sign with him. The featured songs are Love Sick by the Misfits, Take It or Leave It by the Stingers, and Now by all three bands. I dig this one. I thought it was a nice little thing, and I really love how Jim basically breaks his spell.
She has powers of her own.
Yeah.
It's the pink hair.
Yeah. You know, I wish that...
His hair is about as big as hers, though.
I know, but I think he secretly wants it to be pink.
That's what makes her the perfect woman, right?
Exactly.
The funny thing is I'm surprised she didn't try to use synergy at all to get... I mean, I know that she wants to sign the Stingers to Starlight Music, but it just... I don't know. I felt synergy could have, like, stepped in a little bit here and said, hey, look, we're just looking for a business relationship.
Now, even Synergy was hypnotized by Riot's magnetism.
No.
Yes, that's why she didn't appear. She's like, I can't get involved.
It interrupted her ability to show up.
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord. That's a horrible
explanation. He has such magnetism that the earrings couldn't work.
Well, then Jem wouldn't be there.
Oh, my God.
That's true.
Oh, crap. He is a young Eric Lyncher. I know this isn't going to happen with the Jem movie, but Michael Fassbender as Riot.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think he'd look good as Blonde, though.
Good Lord. Amy, what did you think of the plot?
Wait, I'm still thinking of a Fassbender. Give me a second.
Amy, okay. While she's drooling over Fassbender, what did you think of the plot for part two?
Choosing between two things in this episode, everybody is given that ultimatum. Yeah, pizzazz. Do you want Misfits or do you want Riot? I'll take Riot. I'm like, really? or Eric. Would you like it to be called this or that?
Raymond Records or
Stinger Sound? And he's willing to give that to him just to get them to come to him. I think he really wants to win, just saying. Yeah, everybody is given kind of one of those things, choosing between two things. And, you know, Jerrica, would you give me something? Mm-hmm. Would you give me half of Starlight Records?
Starlight.
No, she wouldn't. So it's like, I like how that's kind of the thing going on in this episode is choosing between two things. Mm-hmm. Which would you choose?
Absolutely. So. And I mean, she just got Starlight Music back from Raymond.
I know. Yeah. Well,
why would she give it up again? Well,
yeah,
she's had it for a while in the show, but I mean,
but still, you know. She doesn't want to go through that again.
No.
I actually have to say, I think she's better off.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, we find out before the end of this episode that he's like, look, it's like Riot slightly comes out of himself and reveals who he is. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know that I can't trust Eric, but I can control him.
Yeah.
And it's like,
he's a business guy.
Yeah,
and see, that's the whole thing with the changeover from this season to last season, because Pizzazz cannot, even though she does at certain times, all of the time now, she could never control Eric.
She never
could. And Riot can.
Yeah.
Riot can twist him and basically make him, you know, kneel before him to do whatever he wants, or else they're out. I mean, and then Eric is...
That whole dynamic is kind of subtle, but it's like, when I looked at this, because I'm, you know, looking at this as a reviewing it and seeing what I think about it now, and I thought, wow, that really is telling, especially since the next thing that happens is Jem goes after Rio and patches things with him, and she's like, I finally see him for who he is now, that he's manipulative. And I remember hearing that before, but it really made a bigger impact on me this time around, listening to it, going, I totally get it now. And you're right, he is the narcissist. He is the manipulator. And I he's th- that's one element that they haven't had. I mean, they've had it in different degrees, but not in the degree that they have it in Riot. And I like that.
And see, that's the difference. Like I said, there have been times where Pizzazz has had to threaten Eric with, oh, well, do your line, Amy.
But Daddy.
You know, I'll just call Daddy, and then, you know, yeah. Eric's like, oh, well, crap, I guess I better do it. But see, this is the thing now. With Riot, he doesn't need to call anybody. He can just make Eric do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a huge difference in it. Any other thoughts on the plot, Amy?
Oh, no, just that, yeah.
What about you, Nicole?
Oh, I enjoyed this as well. Just so you could see the other side of the Stingers, a little bit more of them. I pretty much can't say any more than what Amy's already said. The whole thing with Raymond, kind of feel sorry for the guy.
I don't. He knows what he got himself into. You know, he wanted it. He can have it.
I know, but you kind of feel like, man.
Just think about what he did to Jerrica and Jackie taking mm-hmm. the tapes and throwing them in the fire, and then you're like, no, was no, he absolutely deserves whatever he gets.
Yeah, I really can't say any much more than what's already been said. So,
all right, let's get to the hologram moments after this.
Echo.
Brat. Don't like the way I act. Girl, you better face the fact. You can wait a long while. I'm not about to change my style. This is me. How I like to be. Take it. Alright, for the hologram moments, at least Rio's faithful to a point.
To a point.
You go, Misfits. Tell Pizzazz how it is. Finally, she's getting a taste of her own cruelty. Because they're like, well, if you don't need us, we don't need you either.
And then they find out, it doesn't sound so good without her.
Yeah.
Something's missing. It's like, you guys,
you're the lead singer.
Yeah. Who's going to be the lead singer now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Roxy is, because they have the same voice.
Oh, Lord.
Oh. What a bump.
I'm very happy that Jerrica stuck to her guns and kept Starlight, because let's face it, the Stingers are just as bad as the Misfits when it comes to treating people with respect. Rio's smile as he walks away, it's like he's got both Jim and Jerrica wrapped around his finger.
See, I tell you, he knows and he's just playing the game, because guess what? Jerrica's letting him get away with it.
And again, I think that goes again to my point that I made earlier in this podcast episode, where she is losing herself to Jim. She's not losing herself to the Jim character, but she's being herself while she's showing up as Jim as the hologram. And, you know, I mean, hell, they kiss in this episode. Jim and Rio kiss in this episode. I mean,
that was a good smoochy smoochy.
And we kind of already mentioned this in the beginning, but Now was a pretty cool song. It got all three groups together, and they worked. It worked well in each section that they sang. I thought that was great.
Completely agree. Oh,
the harmony is amazing.
And they even had like
that's Townsend's. I wonder if that's Townsend's voice.
Oh, it'd be great if it was. Voice.
Yeah, because it sounded a lot like him.
We could ask him.
Okay, call him up.
We should. Yeah, we absolutely should.
I know you're not busy or anything.
Ask him on Facebook.
We have a question. We have a question about 30 years ago.
Yeah. Did you sing Riot's song? Did you sing for Riot? Oh man, that'd be awesome. Townsend's such a cool dude. Anyhow, I mean, he'd be
I know. I love that guy.
He's great.
Amy, what did you have for this one?
Pizzazz willing to look foolish and Drake stuff for, you know, Riot to like her more. Wow. This is the, I know we've talked about it before. We have Love Sick in this episode. It wasn't the last one. It was in this one.
I accidentally got my notes mixed up. I apologize.
That's all right. It's about the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
But it was just like, I love the fact that it's Rapture that's doing this to her, and she's such a sucker for it. It's like, and even afterwards, when he shows up and he plays along, this is what I'm talking about, guys. The whole, he knows, they all know each other's strengths and weaknesses, and they work off of them. He needs to do is just look at her. She gives him a little wink, and he plays along, like as if nothing, without a beat. You know, and he's like, I might not love it now, but I'll love you in the morning. And then she's like, totally eating it up. And I'm like going, wow, Pizzazz, really?
I just took a stab, guys. I think Pizzazz just wants to be loved.
So,
by someone. And I kind of feel sorry for her because she's trying so hard. Yes, people, I feel sorry for her.
In this instance, I have to say I agree, but sometimes the people that we want to show us the love and affection aren't necessarily the right people to show us that. I get the feeling that Riot will always be the player.
Oh, crap.
Oh, what happened?
Oh, crap.
What?
So I'm looking this up, not wanting to actually sit here and tweet to Townsend, but I'm looking it up on Wikipedia. Townsend was the actual voice of Riot, but Gordon Grody was the singing voice.
Oh.
But it says on here for both Rapture and Minx. Vicky Sue Robinson was the singing voice for both of them.
Oh, wow.
Turn the Beat Around.
Awesome. That is That's great. Crazy. That is awesome.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so let's see what else. Let's see here. Jem having the attitude and Pizzazz being all charming. It's a nice flip.
I like that.
I mean, even while my little kid brain is saying, no, Jem's just supposed to be this, I like the fact that they're kind of flipping these characters just for this episode. Or when they're around Riot, it brings out something else in them. Because that's true, I think, of most people. I think when you're around a certain person or around a certain group, you act a little bit different. I like the fact that when we're around different people, like there are certain friends that we know or whatever, and hang out with different crowds or something like that. It's the fact that you get around somebody new and you act differently slightly than you normally do at like at home and stuff like that. And so people, you just take on slightly different. I mean, it doesn't like completely change your whole personality. I mean, maybe it does. I don't know. When you cosplay, you could, you know, do that. But like, you know,
I like that example.
Too much from experience here or anything, because I've only done that like once or twice. There are people that do it better than I do, but what I'm saying is just it's interesting to have that kind of that little bit of a switch where now Jem is like, she comes home, she's like, oh, I had a wonderful night, and everybody's like, we've been so worried. Oh, there's nothing to be worried about. It's like they flipped. Like she's Jerrica does that to Kimber. Now the holograms are doing that to Jem. That was great. I liked that. So, The stinger's causing problems at the Starlight House. I couldn't stop laughing through each and every single one of them. They were mean, but they're their own kind of trouble, you know? I think they've had the Misfits come before in the past and have had the same issue. And yeah, having the stingers there was just great. Mm-hmm. And I love how they were illustrating all of that. So, Mad Aja. Wow. Mad Aja.
You don't want to mess with Aja when she's mad. With her.
The whole vibe that I'm getting on the comic now completely makes sense. It's like, do not mess with Aja. She will get in your face. Uh-huh. She will mess you up.
That tiger's claws are coming out, man.
And if there was a face-off between her and Riot, who do you think would win?
Oh, Aja.
Hands down.
Just pull his hair out, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
Grab with two hands and pull as hard as you can, Aja. Mm-hmm. You would win. Okay. And then again, like I've mentioned before, this is the best part of the episode for me, was Riot saying he knows that Eric Raymond can't be trusted, but he can control mm-hmm. him. I loved that. That just, yeah. He will get what Eric gets what he's asked for. He wants him. You've got him. He's yours now. So,
Your problem.
And I kind of glad, I know that Gem is like, torn at first. But you know what? I think if I remember right in this season, I think she learns pretty quick how much of a bullet that she dodged with that. So, mm-hmm. yeah. And of course, I also like the Now song. So, yeah, that's me.
Oh, I love that song.
Mm-hmm.
So as I'm going along here, looking at several different things, since we brought up the voices and everything else, I found out a few interesting things. The guy who, you know, makes people's throats hurt back in the 80s for 12-hour sessions, Mr. Wally Burr himself, was the voice of Harvey Gabor.
I mentioned that series. In season one. I mentioned that in season one. Yes.
That was so long ago, I don't remember.
I mentioned it way back when.
And the funny thing is, I'm just now realizing that... in the episode War Dawn, I don't know why it's only this episode, but John Stevenson was the original voice actor. But in War Dawn, Wally actually voices Thundercrapper.
Thundercrapper. Well, I'm never going to live that mistake.
Nope. Never going to live that down.
That was awesome.
Thundercrapper.
Oh, the memories. Please tell me you have that as an outtake.
I'm sure I do somewhere. I'd have to look, but I don't know. All right, where are we for hologram moments here? Nicole, did you already go?
I'm just gonna add on a couple of things. I really like how the Misfits show actual care and concern for Pizzazz, even if it's for their own selfish needs. Somewhat. They still care about her, and I like that kind of. It was really weird because, like you said, they kind of traded places with the holograms.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that. Of course, "Love Sick." I really love that song, and now they're both really great songs, both originals. I enjoyed both of them, and yeah, that's basically it. I mean, especially on the Now, they had such great harmony.
Absolutely.
It's just amazing.
Each one of them had a different, like, just slightly different to them. So it's like, I just really liked it. Yeah.
No, the songwriters for this show, amazing. Amazing. Minus Misfits in Hawaii. That's
just... you know,
it's
you
still a good jingle.
I still get that stuck in my head every once in a while. I'm like,
so it can't be all bad, you know?
You know you secretly love that song. Stop lying.
We're Misfits in Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
I love it.
Oh, my God. Oh, so
come on, all it's right. The one jingle that we always bring up. So I have to say, even if it might not be the best song in the world, but it really is great jingle.
All right, listeners, if you've been listening to us for the past 17 episodes, what I want you to do is between the beginning of the podcast now and by the time we finish up the wrap-ups, the final episodes of the series in episode 22 of the podcast, I want you guys to Misfits in Hawaii count of how many times bring that one song up throughout the entire podcast.
Amen. Amen. this would be good things to know.
All right.
Out of all of the episodes that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really. All right. We're going to get to the Misfit moments for Stinger Sit Down Part 2 after. For the Misfit moments. I know this was Rapture doing this to Pizzazz, but damn, talk about some ugly fashion.
Yeah.
I get that was the point, but one of the reasons why I don't like Pizzazz, it has nothing to do with her look. Well, the face makeup could use some work, but it has nothing to do with her overall look. It's her personality that just turns me off. It's just so horrible.
I thought she looked adorable as Dorothy.
Oh, God.
I thought she looked so cute.
All we need now is, since we live in a day and age and where certain comic companies can pretty much twist Disney songs around, it's like, all we need now is Ultron in this series. Oh, strings on me.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Oh, God.
What is it that thing that they... Oh, it's I'm trying to think what it reminds me of, how she's dressed. Kind of like...
Raggedy Ann?
Not Raggedy Ann. It's I want to say, like, Lucille Ball. She's got Lucille Ball to her. But then there was another one that was coming up, and I was trying to think of... It's like the... Something about housewives, like they're... they're controlling their housewives. It's like some show.
Oh, Stepford Wives.
Yes,
Stepford
Wives. It was a Stepford Wife. I kind of got that vibe with it too. I was like, it's kind of, we got Lucille Stepford Wives kind of that vibe to it.
Yeah, I think it was I think it was Riot that said this. Cross your eyes and close them. How the hell can you cross your eyes and then close? Like, seriously, I
asked. It was Rapture, actually. It was one of her little. Rapture. Things yeah. after she had painted her face and stuff like that. Yeah. After me, I will. Riot will love me. Riot will love me, or I'll have Riot or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where I'm sitting here thinking, because there was a time when I was younger where I actually hit my head and I was cross-eyed for 6 months.
Really?
Yep.
How does that happen?
My vision was like I think it was the one time I fell down our stairs, and it was like. I mean, we lived in a two-story townhouse,
mm-hmm.
And there was at least 30 stairs. So,
oh my Atlanta!
I fell from the 15th stair all the way down, and I think I hit my head on the, you know, those old houses have, you know, metal radiators. I think I hit my head on that, and
I was
cross-eyed for about 6 months. And so, at times now, when I go to cross my eyes, I can do it really well. I don't do it often enough. I mean, I don't do it often.
I wouldn't risk it if I were you.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where I'm trying to think. I'm closing my eyes, and I'm like, how the hell can you cross your eyes while they're closed? That makes no damn sense whatsoever.
When you're in love, anything's possible.
No, I'm sorry. No, logistically, that makes no sense.
But according to all the romance novels out there.
Well, I'm sure I'll get over this, and I kind of have, but And just after this episode, all three of them, the Stingers' personalities suck. It's good that we have a good mix-up and a new dynamic, but it's like, oh my god, all three. Like, there isn't one really sympathetic character at this point, just after these two episodes, from the Stingers.
Yeah.
Like, there's no Stormer in the Stingers. There's no, you know, there's nothing like that. And it's like, wow. Mm-hmm.
Well,
they're all equal.
Yeah, they all have their damage, I guess, in a sense.
I like that, damage. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
What didn't you like about part two, Amy?
Okay. The perfect moment to share who Jem is. And the opportunity is lost on Rio. Really? I mean, come on, think about it. It's the best makeup thing. It'd be the best time.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't share it. That was like, while you're at it, why don't you tell them? And then all of a sudden it would just like totally make sense and everything would be cool, but like, moment is lost. That was the only thing about this episode I thought, oh, tell him. Doesn't happen.
What about you, Nicole?
I don't like how gullible Pizzazz is. I know she's love struck and everything, but I'd like to
You've never been in love with somebody's hair like she is in love with his Brian's hair. I'm not kidding.
That's true. Even though back in the day, I had probably the same thing for Bret Michaels. he was my bad boy of choice. And okay, the harp worked once, but the second time around, I'm like, ugh, that stupid harp. I did not care for that mystical harp.
The harp wants what the harp wants.
Oh, God. You go in a corner. You go in a corner right now. And then I have here, Rio and Jem's relationship. So they're together now? Because at the beginning, she was like, you can do whatever you want. You're free to do whatever you want. And then she's like, oh, no, you're mine. I'm like, whatever.
Like I said, the moment was lost.
I know.
It's the perfect moment to explain it all in one go. And I think he would have been completely cool with it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I know.
It would have fixed everything. But, what, yeah.
Anything else, Nicole?
No.
All right. What are we rating this one, Amy?
I'm also going to go with a 4 on this one as well.
Okay. Yeah. Nicole?
I'm going with a 4 on this one because I didn't enjoy it as much as the first episode. Because I knew who the characters were already. Because the first episode, you're like, oh, it's new and fresh. It still shows their character. I still enjoyed it, but not as much as the first one.
All right.
See, now I liked this one just because, like I said, we find out who Riot really is. He reveals himself.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, that was good. That was good.
All right, we're going to take a break. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
4's all around. I had to take a point off for the cross-eyed, close-eyed comment and and just their personalities overall. I'm sure, hopefully, in the upcoming episodes for the season 3, we'll get to know them a little bit better.
We do.
But so far, just all three of them are just evil incarnate at this point. Like, I don't feel sympathy for any of them. Rapture, she's basically a teenager.
Teenager. She's a mean girl.
Yeah, Minx is essentially the...
Let's just say she lives up to her name.
Well, yes, she lives up to her name. I was going to put it a little bit more cruelly. She's basically a 22-year-old college dropout who has to turn to the life of a whore.
hey, now.
What?
Hey.
What? So, but yeah, 4 all around. Overall, the two-parter on a whole was really good. And it's a great start to the new season. Hopefully things can only go up from here. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with the closing of the show after this.
Jem will be right back after these messages. Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come on, man.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe. From the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film, Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on GeekCast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Get... Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
A female He-Man! This is the worst day of my life!
We've told the tales of Eternia, and now we head to a different dimension to explore the myths of Etheria. Join Optimus Solo and TFG and Mike as they continue their MOTU journey by exploring She-Ra, Princess of Power. 35 podcast episodes covering the entire run of She-Ra, the Christmas special, and more. You can find Myths of Etheria on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. For the honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
And now, back to Jem.
All right, we are back here on Showtime Synergy.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Talking about rock and roll, and then all of a sudden...
Well, it fits. We're back here on Showtime Synergy, and it's an interesting start to the season. It's going to be interesting to see where we go from here in the rest of the final, I think it's final 13 episodes.
It's a short season.
Yeah. It is, sadly, but, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Stingers fit into the Misfits versus Jem, because now it's pretty much all three of them versus each other.
Yeah. The dynamic is kind of, it's going to start shifting just a little bit. See how they, it'll be, yeah, it'll be fun to go through it.
Absolutely.
Bring it on.
I did not watch I was telling you guys off air that for my GCRN Presents Showtime Synergy post, the written post that I put up of what episodes feature what podcast episodes are going to feature what episode reviews and whatever else, I had to put images throughout that entire post, and I'm like, I got to season 3 and I'm like, crap, we haven't finished recording season 3 yet. So I went ahead and watched all the rest of the episodes, but I only watched like the first 3 minutes of each one of the sets, because that way I could at least get one image. And I watched the one where I had no idea this happened. It was so funny. They actually interrupt the theme song. It was hilarious.
Oh, awesome. Nice.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to it. All right, thank you for joining us here on Showtime Synergy. There, so always get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can comment on all... Wait, what?
Faster.
Shut up. Visit the website geekcastradio.com. where you can comment on all of our episode posts and all the other content that we have. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. Mine is TFG and Mike. Amy, what is your Twitter?
Lady of Wreck.
And Nicole?
Beatles, Steva. That's Beatles like the band, not the bug.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast or Radio Network. Call the voicemail line, tell us what you're listening for, and your name, 502-526-5821. There's a 5-minute time limit. As I said earlier, all voicemails or all email feedback or any kind of feedback, we will be going over in the 25th episode, the closing episode of the podcast. We hope you enjoyed the latest episode of Showtime Synergy and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be reviewing the next 3 episodes from Jem and the Holograms, Season 3, those being Video Wars, The Beauty and the Rock promoter. Oh, no. And Homeland Heartland. For now, I am M with...
Marco.
Paulo.
Marco.
Paulo.
Marco.
Polio.
What the fuck is poliosis? Tune in next time and help us get truly outrageous with Showtime Synergy.
Show's over, Synergy.